Thank you, Linda. That was a song called Free at Last, a great song talking about the privilege of the child of God being free from the control, the dominant control of sin in his or her life. And I appreciate Linda playing those songs. Amen?
Amen.
If you have your Bible this morning, would you take it and turn over to Genesis chapter 28? As we read through our Bibles, and each of us are on different plans, I'm sure, but I've mentioned to you a few times the fact that I'm on one called the chronological plan, and at this particular time, this past week, I was reading through this passage of Scripture and was once again reminded of a precious, precious principle that God has for his people, is he will do what he says he will do for our life. And in Abraham's case, he blessed Abraham, blessed Isaac, and up to the where we are today, he blesses Jacob. Oftentimes, in spite of ourselves, he provides blessing and grace to his people. Once again, sometimes it's undeserving. Most of the time, actually, it's undeserving. But God blesses his people in spite of the fact that they don't always do what's best. And I don't always do what's best. You don't always do what's best. And so in Jacob's life, we have a situation where God is confirming to him the blessing as part of the family, the blessing on Abraham's family, Jacob being a grandson of Abraham, Jacob being an individual who seemed to have a little problem with deception in his life. You remember the Bible said that when he was coming out of the womb, he grabbed the firstborn brother, Esau's heel, and grabbed him, you know. And then later when Esau really needed a bowl of porridge or soup, if you will, because he was faint and needed to eat, Jacob helped him okay, but not without Esau having to sell him his birthright. And then we go to see where with his mother's help, he stole Esau's blessing, the firstborn blessing. And so he's got a pattern of deception in his life and a pattern of deceit. And so I want to spend just a couple of weeks, and I know 4 or 5 years ago we went through Genesis, but as I said, in reading through the Bible, it was once again reminded to me, it was brought to my mind of how patient God is with people, how patient he is with those people who least deserve it. And he provides blessing, he provides mercy, he provides forgiveness. But in the spite of all of that blessing and mercy and forgiveness, there are consequences to our sin. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." We're going to see Jacob reaping some. We're going to see Jacob reaping some things in his life. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says, "For they that have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind." And so we're going to see that in his life. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 28, starting verse number 1. And it says, "And Isaac called Jacob, and he blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." Now this is a principle with which Isaac should have been thoroughly familiar, because God had told Abraham to do this, and so it was in the best interest of the family to go to a specific place, as God had said, and choose a wife to be a wife of one of his sons. And so we know that Esau didn't do that. He went outside and he chose a daughter of Canaan there at the beginning to be one of his first of many wives. And verse 2 says, "Arise, go to Padanaram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." It's obvious that Isaac finally submits himself to God's principles. He wanted Esau to be God's line of blessing and communication to the family. And God had chosen Jacob. And it looks as if Isaac is finally succeeding to that. He's finally giving into God's will for who that person would be, that son would be. And verse 5 says, Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram and to Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau's mother. And when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, he sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence. And that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. Now, Esau's being a little more than a me too here. He looks and sees the blessing that his son, that his brother Jacob has, and what he's doing. He's going to the right place, the place that God said to take a wife. And Esau is going also to take more wives. And that's something, by the way, when we talk in the next two or three weeks about multiple wives, and boy, Jacob, boy, he had a few, you know. 12 sons of Jacob, plus a daughter, Dinah. 13 kids. Listen, that was never ordained of God. That's the whole purpose of some of this lesson is God blesses people in spite of themselves. And God never ordained a man, just like slavery. God never ordained slavery. You hear somebody say, well, slavery was in the Bible. Well, the Bible was written about people. The Bible's, among other things, among being the Word of God, it's a book of history. And history has always had some sort of slavery in it. And so, yeah, there is the subject of slavery in the Bible. There's a subject of multiple wives in the Bible. But as Esau looked out and saw his brother doing this, he had already had wives of Canaan, and now he goes off and gets a wife of Ishmael, which was another son of Abraham. He goes to that family and he gets it, but what he's not looking at the fact that God has already rejected Ishmael to be that line. So when we take matters into our own hands, then things often get worse than they were at the beginning. You know, when we do what we want to do, and Esau had a lack of spiritual perception about what he should do. He showed it in his life. He made bad choices, and he had to live with those choices, but that's what he did nevertheless. I have an opinion and a suspicion that God already knew all about Esau, and he said he's not the guy. Jacob's the guy. God chose him, and certainly Jacob is realizing that in this chapter, I believe. And verse 10 says, And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, this was about a 40 to 50 mile journey, and we know he's probably tired from traveling this long distance. He's left home. And don't forget, the way he left was not good, because he had to basically get away from his family. He was asked to leave because of his deception. I'm going to make a statement and then freely admit I have to go home and double check this, but I don't think he ever saw his mother again after this point. So he's probably homesick. He's tired. He's left home. He's taken matters into his own hands twice in his lifetime. And there's probably that guilt there that he's done the wrong thing. But at this point, he's gone to sleep. And verse number 12 says, As he sleeps and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. This is what you often hear is Jacob's ladder, and it was a symbol of God's own personal involvement in the affairs of a man. Here was a man who already had shown multiple times in his life that he was a deceiver, multiple times in his life that he was a deceitful person who took advantage of people. And yet, although Jacob's going to have to live with that, and he's going to have to live with the consequences of that like we all do, at this particular point in his life, God is proving, God is confirming himself that he is God's man. He's letting him know that. And he's doing it by the method of angels, God's own appointed angelic beings or angelic messengers are ensuring that God is carrying out his will and his plan for Jacob at this point in time. Now you know, at this point in time in Jacob's life, he did not have the Bible as you and I have it, and the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth hadn't happened yet. So God spoke to men, and God spoke through men in that period of time a lot through angels or messengers. And here he was confirming to Jacob that he was his man, that he was going to bless his life. And later, even when Jesus was upon this earth, John said over in John chapter 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." That means that Jacob saw angels and descending up and down a ladder that extended into heaven in his dream, but from the time of Jesus Christ on, God would use his son Jesus Christ. And so things changed in that time frame. But in Jacob's time, that hadn't existed yet. So verse 13 continues and says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." So God promises him basically what he's promised his grandpa, Abraham. A lot of land, seed, kids, a family, blessing, and wealth. This is what God had promised. And here in this incident, in Jacob's ladder, he's confirming to Jacob that he is God's choice. He is going to bless the nation of Israel. It wasn't called Israel at that time, but he's going to bless God's people through Jacob. And that had to be such an experience for Jacob to go through. He had to understand that this was such a mighty point in his life. And verse 16 continues and says, "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Boy, that's some mighty words right there. Some mighty, mighty words. Here's a guilty man. Guilty in the sense that he's a deceiver, and he knows he's a deceiver. And yet God speaks to him, and God touches his heart, and he wakes up from his dream and says, "Surely God was here. God is in this place. I didn't even realize it, but he's here. How dreadful is this place?" And let me tell you, that place is a special place for a sinner. When a sinner comes to that point in his life when he realizes that God is gracious and God will forgive, and that the sinner, that he himself needs to repent before the Lord, that's a wonderful but dreadful place. God, I pray that Bible Baptist Church will always be, in this sense of the word, a dreadful place where people can come and they can repent of their sin and they can turn a new leaf in their life, turn over a new leaf in their life, start a new page, start a new chapter, because God is there. And that's what he's realizing right now, that he's come through a very very, very important place in his life. Have you ever been in that situation? Have you ever kind of gone from a spiritual point that's not so spiritual, not so deep, to a place where God speaks to you, maybe from a passage in God's Word, or maybe sometimes here in church where Brother Chris or Brother David goes and he starts preaching and something really speaks to you and you realize that God is speaking to you right now? That's a special, special time. And what I've got some good friends through my work that they're good men. And they're good providers for their family and good workers for their company. But they read the Word of God, but they don't go to a church, and they're shortcoming themselves. They're denying themselves a great blessing. Now, you and I don't know what Brother Chris has prepared this morning, but we trust the Holy Spirit that He's put something in Brother Chris's mind that we need. Amen? And so when we come to God's house, we listen out of respect and deference and honor to the Word of God, and we want to be spoken to by the Holy Spirit. And so verse 18 continues, and it says, "And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first." Now, this was a practice that was done often in those times. Sometimes a great religious ritual of great significance would take place, and they would want to remember it, and they would make a memorial for something special that happened in a certain place, and pour a little oil or some type of liquid upon a stone, and it was a place of great significance. And Bethel is what Jacob called this place, and it's very significant to Jacob. If you read the book of Genesis, something I was thinking of this week, if you read the book of Genesis, this is really probably the first place that was of spiritual significance to Jacob. This was it. We don't see any other place in Scripture where he had a special spiritual experience, his own spiritual experience outside of his mom and dad. And we see it in this chapter. And verse 20 says, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on." Now, sometimes words are confusing, and the "if" there really means since. Jacob says, since God will be with me, and since God will keep me in this way that I go, and since God will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, a tithe at this time was not commanded by God. It was practiced as a sign of allegiance to God, a sign that you wanted to give God a portion of what he's given you back. And so this is a really special place for Jacob. You hear the story of Jacob's ladder. Think of this as being a place where Jacob was confirmed by God. He was moved by God. He became stronger in his faith. He became determined to live for the Lord. He became determined to have a greater faith, a greater service to the Lord. But when we, and that's a super place to be in, a good place. Listen, his sin is behind him, what he's done in the past, but yet God reaffirms his covenant to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And God is promising Jacob that his life will be surrounded and protected by God through God's angels. And that's a good place to be. When you come to terms with the Word of God, and God speaks to your heart, and he confirms, and this happens often, if a child of God will get into the Word of God prayerfully and seek the Lord's leading, God does that for his people. And that is it's a very good place to be, because oftentimes we have to bring things to the Lord and we ask for his forgiveness. And anytime we ask for forgiveness and anytime we receive forgiveness, that's a very, very sweet part of a sweet time in our life. Listen to the psalmist's words on how sweet God's forgiveness is. "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Jacob is realizing that right now. At this point in his life, after pouring that oil on the stone, Jacob is realizing it's a good thing to get God's forgiveness. It's a good thing when God looks down upon you and he extends his mercy to you. The psalmist said somewhere else, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And that just simply means, Lord, if you hold us to what we do, if you penalize us for our sin, if you bring charges and accusations against us for what we do, we can never stand before you without your forgiveness, without your mercy. But he's full of forgiveness and he's full of mercy. Well, Psalm 130 verse 7 says, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. So I think Jacob was probably at a good point in his life right now. He's looking at the whole situation and he's thinking, this is good. I'm in a good place. Man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to serve the Lord. And I'm going to go on to this place and God's going to provide me a wife and we're going to raise a family. God's chosen me and I feel good about this thing. Well, if you know the story of Jacob, you know that he's indeed in an important place right now. But it's a beginning of some good things and some bad things. He's at a place in his life where he's about to go down a couple of different paths in the road. And he's got an opportunity here to start clean and start over and let God use him and make him valuable in his service. Or another path in the road where Jacob can continue being the old Jacob and continue deceiving people and continue cheating people. What's he going to do? This point in Jacob's life is awfully, awfully important because of what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, what? Lest he fall. Jacob's on the mountain right now. Jacob's saying, I got this. Man, God has blessed me, and he's going to lead me, and I'm going to do something in my life. And we all want to say, Jacob, look out. There's something coming down the road. And Jacob, don't think too highly about where you are, because if you look at Jacob, look at your life and see what you really are. You know, Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Jacob, your heart's been in deceiving people. Oh, you're enjoying the good right now. And God has promised to richly bless you. And if you serve him, he will. But watch out, because your actions have shown you to be prone to do other things besides serve the Lord with a sincere heart. And Jacob, in addition to remembering what's down the path, remember that there are consequences to your sin. Galatians chapter 6 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So here's where we are with this situation. God has blessed him. I've got to stay right here because I don't have a mic on. God has blessed him, and God has promised to keep on blessing him if he serves him and give him his heart and give him his 100% of his mind. But remember, Jacob's got a past. What's God going to do with that past? Well, God's blessing and his mercy and his forgiveness, that extends from that point on to as long as Jacob's alive. That's a promise. That's going to happen. But it's going to happen in spite of who Jacob is. And the truth of the matter is, Jacob's already sowed some seed. Jacob's already been a deceiver. Jacob's already on a number of occasions, he's been a deceiver. And that tendency to deceive is going to come out. And that tendency to be a cheater is going to come out. And we're going to see it in future lessons in the next 2 weeks. But God, listen, as far as God himself, he's going to do what he says he will do. But over here, there are still consequences to what we do. Amen? Just because I repent of my sins and I ask the Lord to save me and I ask God to use me in his service doesn't wipe away the years of consequences. It's just not the way it works. I can't pay enough to the church. I can't stay on my knees long enough. Now God is God. and he can do anything he wants. And part of his, the blessing of extending his mercy to us is wonderful. And he surprises us with his goodness and his love all the time. But for me to say, well, because I'm at a point where I'm serving the Lord, God, all those other things that I did, can you just wipe the slate clean? You know? Well, Jacob, you're starting over all right, but consequences still remain. Once again, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Jacob's going to leave this place, and we're going to see Jacob go to Laban's house, and we're going to see him. You ever heard the phrase, what goes around comes around? It's going to come around. And it's going to keep coming around for a long, long time. You say, well, why? God said he would bless him. Why did God not bless him? God blessed him. God gave him everything he said he would do. God did everything that he said he would do and gave to Jacob everything that he said he would give to Jacob. But what goes around comes around. And Jacob, as we see, is going to be at the receiving end of a man who can almost match him in deception. It's funny how things work that way. It's funny how we seem to roll around in life and we get what's coming to us. There's a word for that, and I can't remember what it is, but it just popped into my head. There's a word for that. And yet in God's, what we have to do in our minds as a child of God is to separate the two. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, God has promised to be with his people and to bless his people. He desires a heart from them that's 100% devoted to him and committed to him. He will do exactly what he says he will do in my life. He will provide those blessings. Okay, that's good. That's a part of it. Hey, guess what? I've had a whole life before coming to the Lord. I've done things that there may be consequences of. I've maybe not taken care of my body like I should have. There's consequences to that. Amen? That's just a part of life. And just because we're saved and we've committed to serve the Lord like Jacob has in this chapter doesn't mean that those consequences are gone away. And so what I see in this family from Abraham onto Jacob, and then as we go into Joseph's life, is God will do what he says he's going to do. He is going to complete exactly what he says he's going to get started. And in the process, he's going to give us grace. He's going to give us undeserving merit and mercy when we don't deserve it. But he desires to be intimately involved with us. He desires for us to give him 100% of our mentality, of our heart, of our love, of our commitment and our devotion. And then while we do that, we have to keep in mind that for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And somehow we got to realize that God is merciful and he's God and he's a giver of great blessings, but we're human. And Pat and Lizzie, the more, you know, we're human. We fall. We you know, Linda, we fall. We see this old nature that we have in our life all the time. And all he wants is our complete devotion to him. All he wants is for me to be real. He wants me to come up here and you come up here and what we say on Sunday morning to be lived out on Tuesday afternoon. Or Friday night, or whenever it is. He wants us to be real. He wants us to give ourselves to him. And then, in spite, like we were talking about in the prayer room, our desire is one thing, and God's will may be another, and he wants us to trust him when there's a difference in between the two. He just wants us to trust him. You look at the life of Jacob in the next few weeks, and you see that God just wanted him to trust him. And sometimes he did. And sometimes he didn't. And that's what he wants from me too. Isn't that hard sometimes? Oh, yeah. Because we see with our minds the way we think it should be. Yeah, well, this just makes sense, Lord. I mean, this is all falling into place. I mean, yeah, it's going to go right down this path because I see it. I see it's going to happen. And you might even praise the Lord when you get there. oh, yeah, I see this path. You've lined all this thing up. And then as you get on down the path, you realize things are not happening. And guess what? He still wants us to trust him. He's got it handled. Would you pray with me?